have to hand it to you. I mean, a lot of you have come up to me and given me some awesome testimonies, and that is powerful. I know you right over there, she went to go put gas in her car. I forget if it was last week or the week before, and she went up to three people to witness to them. And a third person she went up to, she said, what'd you say? You said, I was on my way to hell, but now I'm on my way to heaven. And she gave him the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. And he was Muslim. Was he Muslim? And he received Jesus Christ. That's awesome. Let's give the Lord a hand. And then Greg, where's Greg? Is Greg here? Greg, let's give this guy a hand. Awesome. Sunday, okay, last week he was witnessing, okay, sharing his faith, and he knocked on this one door, and of course they opened a door, and he smelled marijuana, okay, and he just kept going forward with the gospel. They received Jesus Christ, amen, hallelujah, okay. And also Sunday, he sings in the choir right after service. He hopped in his car, drove to someone's house that he shared the gospel with, and those people received Jesus Christ, picked them up, and brought them to church between service so they could attend the 11 o'clock service. I mean, that is awesome. Yes. That took some initiative. How many of you know that took initiative?
Amen.
Okay, yeah, amen. So that's a good job. And you know, the important thing, this is all about reaching people, reaching the lost. This is about demonstrating the love of God. And you have to purpose in your heart to demonstrate the love of God. I mean, how many of you know that just didn't happen by itself? Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, so, I mean, that was very, very commendable. That was very commendable. And the way people are going to get plugged into the body of Christ is by people going out of their way. Because if you lead someone to the Lord, and they're not plugged into a body, they're not plugged into a local body, the likelihood of them getting out of bed on a Sunday and hopping in their car and driving themselves to the river, or for that matter, any other church, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the highest that they do it, it's probably around a 2. Do you know what I'm saying? Because what happens is that seed is planted on the inside of them. You know, yes, Jesus, come into my heart. Oh, praise God. You know, I feel great now. I feel like a new creation or what have you. But how many of you know that seed needs to be watered? And they're not immediately going to be like panting for the Word of God. Oh, I got to get that Word in me. But you know what? If they come to church 1 or 2 times, then it's going to begin to sprout forth, and they're going to say to themselves, wow, you know, I'm really hungry for the Word of God. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to church Sunday. But in the beginning, it's not that way. I mean, think about when you got saved. Think about when you got saved. Amen? So we want to pick these people up and bring them to church. Look at your neighbor and say, pick them up and bring them to church. Pick them up and bring them to church. I mean, what if that person was your mother? What if that person was your brother? What if that person was your cousin? What if that person was your 82-year-old grandmother? Do you see what I'm saying? Pick them up and bring them in. 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 Amen? Okay, but anyways. I hold in my hand an apple. And it's a great looking apple. My husband picked this up. Great looking apple there. Now, we could do a lot of things with this apple. You could do a lot of things with this apple. You could eat it. And then you could throw away the core, which contains the seeds. Gee, that's a big revelation. Wow, that's real deep. And if we were to cut this apple open, we could actually count how many seeds were in this apple. Couldn't we? Okay. Now, the seeds in this apple could represent the Word of God that's on the inside of you. Okay, you have the Word of God on the inside of you, every single one of you. Isn't that good news? And how many of you know the Word endures forever? Okay? See, the seeds in this apple could represent the Word of God that's on the inside of you. And with the Word of God that's on the inside of you, you could either, A, leave it there and just, hey, praise God, got it in me. Or you could start shooting those seeds into other people's hearts, into other lives. Now, let's say this apple has 100 seeds on the inside of it. Now, with those 100 seeds, we could go ahead and plant them. We could plant them, and when you plant those seeds, chances are an apple tree is going to spring forth. Right? So we plant the seed, and now we have an apple tree. Well, that apple tree that springs forth, do you realize that apple tree, all the apples, now you have a tree full of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of seeds. And those thousands of seeds, when they're planted, you'll have an orchard on your hands. An orchard. Far beyond what the eye could see. You could have orchards in China. You could have orchards in the Philippines. My goodness, when we were in New York, so many of the people that we evangelized to were from different countries. And now, they have the seeds on the inside of them. They hop on a plane and they fly back to Taiwan or wherever. And now they're going to start planting those seeds, planting those apple seeds, and apple trees coming forth. And then those apple trees have the capacity. They have thousands and thousands and thousands of seeds, and now there's orchards over there. But every single one of you here have seeds on the inside of you. And what are you doing with those seeds? And every time you plant a seed, don't look at it as a seed, and don't even look at it as an apple tree, but as an orchard. What's the value of just that one person you just took 5 minutes to witness to? And that one person that you're sharing the gospel with, my goodness, God knew them before they were even in their mother's womb. His thoughts of them are more in number than what there is sand on the face of the earth. He loves them just as much as he loves you, just as much as he loves Billy Graham, just as much as he loves Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. Now, like I said, this apple that I hold in my hand, if we were to cut it open, let's say we could count 100 seeds. We We can count 100 seeds, but you know what we can't count? We can't count how many orchards. When that one seed is planted, we have no idea how many orchards are going to come forth and spring forth just from that one seed. Amen? Okay. Isn't that a pretty apple? Let's talk about the value and how God looks at it when just that one person calls upon the name of the Lord. Amen? Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, verse 8 through 10. Luke chapter 15, verse 8 through 10. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is a joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Over one sinner that repenteth. Over one. I say unto you, there is a joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Luke chapter 15, 3 through 7. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Over one. Isn't that powerful? I mean, so often when we think of ministry, we think ministry to multitudes and multitudes of people, you know, maybe in a stadium or where there's 15,000 people and you speak the word of God and you see, you know, 10,000 people get healed and you see 12,000 of them call upon the name of the Lord and you're like, yeah, hallelujah. But my goodness, when you read the book of Luke, so often these scriptures is talking about the one man who was healed. It's talking about the man who stretched forth his hand and it was healed. You're talking about Peter's mother-in-law that was sick with a fever and she receives her healing. And these scriptures are inspired by the Word of God. And those are miracles that Jesus performed. And he's talking about Peter's mother-in-law who was just healed of a fever. That's having compassion. That's the compassion of God in action when you minister to just that one person. And hey, I'm a big thinker. You can ask my husband, believe me, I'm a big thinker. But my goodness, when you minister, when you stop what you're doing and you say, okay, God, use me, speak through me, minister to people, touch people through me. And you lay aside your agenda and you start focusing on his, my goodness, you'll find yourself having such a compassion for that one person that you're ministering to. Because that's what ministry is all about. It's you pouring yourself out. It's you touching people. How can you have the compassion for 15,000 when you don't even have it for just that one? Do you see what I'm saying? Well, let's see what happens when you have the compassion for just that one, okay? Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. The reason why I'm really drilling this in and the reason why I'm reading you scriptures for this is because when you grab hold and you have compassion for just that one, you'll find yourself ministering to more people per month than what you ever have done in your entire life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Acts chapter 3, and I'm going to read it to you from the Message Bible. One day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way into the temple for prayer meeting. Okay, so Peter and John, they're on their way somewhere. How many of you have ever been on your way somewhere, okay? That's not a trick question, okay? So, hey, they're like, hey, let's get going. We don't want to be late for prayer, okay? Anyway, at the same time, there is a man crippled from birth being carried up. Every day, he was set down at the temple gate, the one named Beautiful, to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. Peter, with John at his side, looked him straight in the eye and said, "Look here." He looked up, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, "I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Now, Peter and John were on their way somewhere. Peter and John, they could have been on their way to the grocery store. They could have been on their way to the laundromat. They could have been on their way to Kiko's. They could have been on their way to McDonald's. Peter and John were on their way somewhere, and they saw this gentleman. He grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and walked. We're talking about Peter and John, who ministered to one crippled man. One. Look at your neighbor and say, one. One, okay? The man went back into the temple with them, walking back and forth, dancing and praising God. Everybody there saw him walking around and praising God. They recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple's gate, Beautiful, and rubbed their eyes astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. Now, let's turn to chapter 4. When Peter and John were addressing the people, the priests, the chief of the temple police, and some Sadducees came up indignant that these upstart apostles were instructing the people and proclaiming that the resurrection from the dead had taken place in Jesus. They arrested them and threw them in jail until morning, for by now it was late in the evening. But many, look at your neighbor and say, but many. But many of those who listened had already believed a message. And round numbers, about 5,000. About 5,000. About 5,000. Because Peter and John were operating in the love of God and the compassion of Christ, and they stopped and they ministered to just that one. 5,000 sounds like an orchard to me. That's a lot of apple trees. They didn't have a clue that 5,000 people would then call upon the name of the Lord when they stopped and they ministered to just that one. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't have time to talk to you right now. I got places to go, things to do, people to see. So you never realize who you're touching. And you never realize the eternal fruit that's going to spring forth and come forth because you stopped and you ministered to just that one. I mean, it is pretty simple. It is pretty simple. It really, really is. I mean, when you think about it, it's pretty simple. Because when you read these scriptures, the inspired word of God, my goodness. I mean, the book of Luke is power-packed with testimony after testimony. All the way through. And so often it's giving you a testimony of one person that was just touched and healed. It's giving you a testimony of someone who someone was on their way somewhere. Jesus was on his way and he stopped and he ministered to that one person. All heaven rejoices when just one. I mean, that's pretty simple when you just, okay, yeah, sure, I can do that. I can fit one into my busy daily schedule. Amen? Okay, so I thought it was really, really important that you know that. In fact, that's simply the love of God bubbling up in you. It's the love of God. Do you realize that?
Yes.
For God so loved the world. I mean, that, the love of God. It's the love of God. For God so loved the world. So we do it out of that love. And the compassion. We yield to that. And my goodness, when you yield to that, and if they don't receive what you have to say, big deal, because perfect love casts out all fear. When you're operating in the love of God, and someone rubs you off, I mean, my goodness, you really don't even get offended. You don't. You can't be operating in the love of God and get offended. Because really, you don't even notice it. I remember this one lady who I was sharing the gospel with. And anyway, she was receiving Jesus, okay? And it's so funny, she had my hand in her hand, you know, and she was saying the prayer. Right? And I was actually with Eric, so we were walking away, and I was like, wow, you know, that was really awesome. And he said, man, she was mad at you. I said, what do you mean? He said, she was definitely upset with you, man. She was squeezing your hand. She was trying to break your hand. And I was thinking, man, this woman's really getting touched. I didn't even pick up on it. Didn't even phase it. I mean, I was like, praise God, you know. I'm just out here sharing the gospel and what a privilege it is to knock on doors and share the gospel. I didn't even pick up on it. But anyways, it's out of the love of God. Okay, I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians 13 out of the Message Bible, 1 through 13. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best and never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. But for right now, until completeness, we have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of these three is love. Love. Love never gives up. Love never gives up. Love never gives up. Aren't you so happy and thrilled that God has not given up on us? Love never gives up. Love never gives up. Love always believes the best of others. So it's out of that love that you minister out of. I love you so much. I just want to share the gospel with you. I love you so much. I love you so much. It's out of that love. And that's the way you can keep on going. Just keep on going, 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 keep on going. And never give up. Amen? How many of you have your script with you? Good. If you have your script, take it out. If you don't, raise your hand and Terry will get you one. Who doesn't have a script? Oh, Terry, I got some up here too. And also, if someone could start handing out those commitment cards. As you're getting your script out, I'm going to read to you Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a daily decision. It's a daily decision. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say it's a daily thing. Acts 11:21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. The hand of the Lord is with you. The hand of the Lord is with you. And Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. All you have to do is speak it. We can't get people saved, but we surely can give them the opportunity to. Amen? So the gospel, in fact, turn to Romans 1:16. In fact, if I were you, I'd write down that scripture reference. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, if you're not ashamed of something, if someone can tell that you're not ashamed of something, you must be speaking it. Because how would I know that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ unless you're doing something that displays the fact that you're not ashamed of it? Do you see what I'm saying? Hey, how many people understand what I'm saying? If I can tell that you're not ashamed of something, you must be doing something so I know that you're not ashamed of it, right? So, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. The gospel. The gospel is the power of God. And my goodness, when we come upon that revelation, we simply realize, oh, hey, it's not me, it's the gospel. Well, praise God. Then you'll find yourself speaking it in some of the most interesting places. And what's so good about the gospel is the gospel never lets you down. You could be having a bad hair day. You could be just having a bad day altogether. There's one thing that you can stand upon, and that is the Word of God. The gospel is the power of God. Look at your neighbor and say, the gospel is the power of God. So the gospel is the power of God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. Now look at your other neighbor and say everyone. Now what's so good about that word is I love words like that in the Bible. I love words like always. I love words like never. I like words like everyone. I like words like all. I mean, those are powerful words. Do you know what I'm saying? Because there's really no way that you can get confused about those words because they're pretty self-explanatory. Like when it says A-L-L, all, what does that mean? It means
all.
Okay? When it says words like everyone, gee, that includes everyone. So those words are awesome words. You know, in fact, if I had a whole week, I'd probably do word search and on my computer and type words in like all and everyone and always, because those are some pretty neat words, okay? So the gospel is the power of God to everyone. 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 Everyone includes from the penthouse to the crack house to the White House. Everyone. Everyone includes the man in the book of Mark who was so possessed with the legion of demons that not even chains would hold him. So possessed that he was mutilating his own body. Does anyone know anyone like that? To everyone who believes. That's good news. That says to me that, hey, it's not up to me, it's up to him. So definitely know the scripture, Romans 1:16, because it will be on your test. Okay? So now that we realize that the gospel is the power of God, and it's not you or me, it's not contingent upon the way we feel, because the gospel is, okay? Jesus was the Word made, and He's the same yesterday, today, and... So that's good news, isn't it? That's real good news. So now that we know that, and we know that He said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to... There's that, oh my goodness. Is it that word again? To everyone? Okay. So that includes the people that you think in your mind would be receptive, and it also includes the people that you think are, hey, they're ripe and ready, so let me go share the gospel with them, okay? And really, you just never know who's going to say yes. I can tell you this from experience. Most people say yes. They generally say yes. Most people say yes. And generally, they say thank you so much. No one has ever told me that. I was one of those people. I got saved selling vacuum cleaners. The lady didn't buy it, and I was packing up, and I was out of there, and she wanted to share a few words with me, and I figured, well, I took an hour of her time. I guess I should listen to what she has to say to me. And I was a church organist. Is that a scary thought? So it was a pretty quick episode. I got saved. Next thing I know, I said, well, hold on a second. I called across the street. I said, hey, to the salesperson across the street. I said, come here. This lady has something to share with you. So I became an instant evangelist. Take out your script. Hey, Terry. Where's Terry? Wonder if we have any more of those river tickets. If you're an usher and you know where those river tickets are, could you grab one? Well, actually grab a box of them. Now, the gospel is pretty simple to share. And really, once again, it's time for you to share it. In fact, today's a good day. After all, today is a day of... Isn't it funny how we know all these scriptures, but what are we doing with them? Okay? It's really, really simple. It's quite easy. And when I first learned how to share the gospel, the first thing I did was call my friends and family. Actually, I called my family first. And then I got to my friends. And then I got to my block. And then I got to my city in general. The gospel is very, very simple to share. And people are ready to receive it. They're ripe. They're ready. I said they're ready. They're ready. The favor of God is upon you. The hand of the Lord is with you. You got the power. The gospel is the power of God. Okay, so we're going to show you some really awesome ways to share the gospel. You can share it on the telephone. Call your mother if she's not saved. Call your father. Call your brother. Call your cousin. And this is what you can do. Let's say I was calling my brother James. You know, hey James, how you doing? Well, great. You know, small talk. How's the wife? How's the kids? Da 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 da. And then I would get to a question. I would say, James, you know, hey, I got a really important question to ask you. You know, I love you so much, and I know how my life has been touched, and I got to ask you this really important question. It will only take a moment. James, if you were to die today, do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would go to heaven? Zip. Now it's their turn to talk. Look at your neighbor and say, it's their turn to talk. In fact, that question's here. Let's see, where is it? I have a really quick but important question to ask you. If you were to die this very second, do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you would go to heaven? And then what do? I zip my lip and I let them talk. Now they'll say yes, they'll say no, they'll say I don't know, but you just let them answer. And then let's pretend they say yes. Then you would say, great. Why would you say yes? Look at your other neighbor and say, great. Why would you say yes? Now, the reason why it's so important that you ask that question is because, like myself, I thought I was going to heaven because I was a church organist. Now, does the Bible say, whosoever is a church organist shall be saved? No. How about, does it say, whosoever is an elder shall be saved? Does it say, whosoever is a Sunday school teacher shall be saved? No, now, of course, those are silly questions, but so often if someone says, well, I go to church, we're like, well, praise God, hallelujah. And we end the conversation. That person could be on their way to hell just like I was on my way to hell. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay? So it's so important that if they say yes, you say, why would you say yes? Now, let's pretend they list their credentials. They give you their resume as to why they should be able to enter heaven. Okay? Real simple. Oh, okay. They just listed me their entire credential, you know, their resume as to why they do believe they're going to go to heaven. I would simply say, oh, okay. Guess what I'm not going to say? I'm not going to say, you know what? You're wrong and you're going to split hell right open. You're wrong and I'm right. I'm going up. And sister, you are going down. Hey, it's important we cover these things, okay? Let me tell you what happened in New York. I was working a book table, and this one gentleman who was an employee of Madison Square Garden came up to me. And he was with a friend named Gregory. Both of them were employees of Madison Square Garden. And he was Hindu, and he said, well, what is this Good News New York stuff? And I said, well, we're here to let New York know that God loves them and Jesus is the answer. He said, well, let me tell you what I think. I think that when you die, you come back as a tree, you come back as a piece of grass, or you come back on as a cockroach. It depends the way you live your life. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. He went on for probably around seven minutes or so. And I stood there like this. Oh, okay. And when he was done, I said, oh, okay, Mahadrio and Gregory. Well, let me just quickly share with you what the Holy Bible reads. It reads that, hey, we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God, Mahadra and Gregory. And also the Bible reads that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And last but not least, Mahadra and Gregory, it reads, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you're a whosoever, right? Now, what did I just do? What did I just do, people? I spoke the gospel. What is the gospel? Now, what if I would have said, Mahadra, you're wrong. You're going to split hell right open. He would have turned his back on me, and he would have walked away. And if I would have been narrow-minded, not narrow-minded, but if I would have been obnoxious like that, he would have never listened to the words of life. I would have never been able to minister the power of God to him. And I said, Mahadra and Gregory, if the two of you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, receive the eternal gift that God has for you today, right here, right now, please repeat this short prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus. The two of them together bowed their heads and said, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free and let me never be the same again. They didn't start crying. They didn't quiver. They didn't fall to the ground. But I'll tell you what did happen. God took that heart of stone out and put in a heart of flesh. The very next day, Mahadrio came up to the table and said, would you pray for my daughter? Then the next day, he grabbed another Madison Square Garden employee with him, brought him to the table and said, listen, lady, say the same prayer that you said with me, with him. It's the real deal. Our job is not to judge whether they meant it when they said it. Our job is to simply minister and bring forth the gospel, to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and let God do what he does best, and we simply do what he tells us to do. And people, what does he tell us to do? That's right. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Now, you have your scripts, and this is your homework assignment. Now, how many of you have ministered to two people last week? Good. Good. I want you to always remember the orchard. Amen? Here's your homework assignment. You have a whole week to do it. A whole week. It's to minister to two more people. And I want you to do like what he did. I want you to bring these people to church. Your goal is to not only bring forth the gospel, but also your goal is to get these people plugged into the body of Christ here. Aren't you happy that you're plugged into a local body? I am so happy. I thank God for the river because I know what it's done in my life. And because it changed me, the power of God has changed me, I've been able to minister to more people. And we want to see these people bring forth good fruit. These people can reach people that you'll never be able to reach. Do you understand that? And by them sitting underneath, under the power of God and hearing the word of God, that seed that was planted by you is going to begin to grow and bring forth fruit. Amen? So not only share the gospel, but do your very, very best. And you know what? When you do this at work and you do this with your friends and family, if they live here in town, my goodness, it's not going to be that difficult to say, hey, how about if I pick you up at 10:30 and we'll go to church together? Amen? Am I telling you the truth? Well, lift your hands to heaven. Lord, I thank you for these precious men and women of God. I thank you. I thank you that a holy boldness is coming upon them, Lord. Burn everything out of them. Burn the fear of man out of them. Lord, make the things of heaven so real to them. Give them a greater hunger for the things of God. Let the love of God just ooze from them. I thank you that the love of God is already shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, but that they'll yield to the love of God. They'll yield to the compassion of Christ, and they will touch their world in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We thank you for it, and we count it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are there any questions? Does anyone have any questions? Wow, no questions? Gee, that is great. Well, bless you guys. I love you.